But even the gloves themselves have pathogens on them, have heavy metals, have plastics, have chemicals. They're testing these gloves now, and they're finding that there's so much crap on them straight out of the box.
Everybody's got to eat, and nobody likes getting sick. That's why heroes toil in the shadows, keeping your food safe at all points, from the supply chain to the point of sale. Join industry veterans Francine L. Shaw and Matt Ragushi for a deep dive into food safety. It all boils down to one golden rule. Don't eat poop. Don't eat poop.
Hello, hello, Francine.
Hi, Matt.
How are you today?
I'm good.
Wow.
Always good.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Today was interesting. Whenever there is a time change, I feel like meetings get messed up.
So not only do we have the time zones to contend with now, we also have daylight savings time.
Yes. There's been multiple times where different states, like Arizona, doesn't have it. And I think Colorado is getting, this may be the last one that we are doing. But yeah, states are getting away with daylight saving times. I think that's going to be great. Let's just set it at one time and forget it, because it, particularly since you and I are doing more international work as well. And yeah, that just messes everything up.
I was going to say that before you did. So we've got the time zones, international time, and daylight savings time. And it's God that our calendars, if you set it up appropriately, will keep track of that for us, because I struggle to be on time anyway.
Well, you struggle with, well, I'm sure you don't struggle with time zones with everybody else, but you and I, because we are at a 2-hour difference and we're constantly making things up. I've just learned to just send you my times in Eastern time.
And I don't know why, but I feel like it is only you that I have that problem with. And I don't know why that is.
Because I'm like your brother and you're like, figure it out for me. Why are you making me do it?
Just take care of it for me, Matt. Send it to me right.
Yeah, send it to me right.
Don't make me do it.
This is going to be interesting with the episodes, because this is going to be cool too. When we assume we're going to do this with Food Safety Consortium again, where we do a bunch of interviews, but we are lining up interviews now with shows that we're doing ahead of time.
Right.
Not all the time, but will that be the case? But this time, it's going to be really cool. So next week's episode is going to be an interview with Steve. Is it Ardal?
I'm not sure. And I hesitate to say his last name because I'm not sure how to say it. Maybe he should tell us.
He probably does in the interview. We just haven't listened to it in a long time. And
before you go there, can I say something?
No.
Yeah, I'm going to. So speaking of, it goes in tandem with what you're talking about. We did a LinkedIn Live this week.
Oh, yes.
Tia Glave and Jill Stuber. I can say their names, Tia Glave and Jill Stuber of Catalyst. And we had so much fun with them.
So much fun.
So I want to thank them for having us on, because that was a lot of fun. So thank you for having us on your show. We really enjoyed that. So anybody that's listening, if you have not watched their show on LinkedIn Live, please do that. They're great. It was a lot of fun.
They are really great. Their company Catalyst is great. Let me rephrase that. I assume their company Catalyst is great. You and I have not interacted with the company side of them, but we have interacted with both Jill and Tia, and they are an absolute blast. So I can only imagine what their workshops and trainings are like.
Right.
Because, yeah, if they're even 1/10 the amount of energy that they show in interviews with us and stuff that we've done with them, then their trainings have to be absolutely amazing.
I would agree with that. And the reviews that I've read and the things that I read certainly lead me to believe that they are as well. And my daughter-in-law's birthday was this week, and I know that she listens. So I want to tell her happy birthday, and I love her, Amanda.
Aw. So
that's it. Yeah.
And we're trending internationally and nationally. We are solidly in the top 100 for natural sciences, which is crazy. Right?
I know.
We keep seeing that go up and down, but it's up and down within that 100, top 100.
It's very cool. And even though we're like not in the top 100 or even 1,000 internationally, the fact that we are on the charts internationally when there's millions of podcasts out there is just a amazing.
We're in the top 10,000. And there are, again, millions and millions of podcasts out there. And we're in the top 10,000 internationally.
That is amazing.
And when we say internationally, we mean top 10,000 internationally overall, not just in natural sciences, right?
I'm not sure.
We're terrible with stats. We were talking about that on.
It took us months to even know that there were analytics because we were just chatting and didn't even. People started asking us questions and we're like, well, we don't know.
Wait, there's stats? We should be tracking that?
Is that relevant? Should we know? Okay. So back to what you were saying about Steve. We are going to talk about gloves because gloves are single use. Gloves are important. So we're going to talk about gloves today.
Yeah. And one of the reasons why we're talking about this too is because it is recently relevant. If you look at Food Safety News, they did an article on Steve and they called him the glove guy. And so then I posted on LinkedIn, should it be the glove guy or should it be the glove guru or whatever? But this was just like a week ago that this article was posted. And he gives such great, every single time I read about these gloves, I'm shocked. They're ubiquitous. And we helped write standards forcing gloves because the retailers really and food service companies really wanted these standards to force gloves. And I don't know if it's helping. Oh my gosh. Guy Francie, you have to give more context because you were saying a bunch of stuff before the show and I was just like, my land, this is so bad.
So first of all, in 2022, it was a $12.3 billion industry. That is crazy.
Wow. Just to put this in context, guys, the annual budget for the FDA is $7.2 billion. And the food portion of that is $1.2 billion. And you said, Francine, that it's how much in the billions is gloves?
I think it's at $12.3 billion in 2022 and projected to grow at 3.9%.
So the amount of money companies spend on gloves every single year is 10 times the budget of the food side of the FDA.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say they should be spending more.
They should be spending more, but only if the gloves, they could be spending more. They don't have to. Depends. As long as the gloves actually do what they're intended to do, and they're not adding to the problem. And that's what we're seeing right now.
And I say that because people don't change them as frequently as they should.
But even the gloves themselves have pathogens on them, have heavy metals, have plastics, have chemicals. They're testing these gloves now and they're finding that there's so much crap on them straight out of the box.
Fecal matter. Can't forget the fecal matter. They have poop on them.
Of course. Our show is called Don't Eat Poop. Hello. So we have to talk about fecal matter.
We can't miss the poop. And I was talking to Steve fairly recently and he said that there was a country that had packed up some used gloves.
What?
Resold them.
Wait, hold on.
Used these gloves. Yes.
And they were like recycling these gloves?
Resold them. Yes. So the things that happen, if you read Steve's articles and the information that he publishes and he posts, it is absolutely crazy. So we think that we're buying these gloves. Nobody's testing these gloves. They're being sold as single-use gloves, and they're not sanitary. Is that crazy?
It's not just not sanitary. It's actually disgusting.
Well, it's gross.
Because it would be better if employees just washed their hands really well, sanitized them, and then used them without the gloves.
We're not advocating that.
Yes. 100%. But that's why you have to understand where you're getting these gloves, what the manufacturer is, because this is, and by the way, we are talking about one of the things that we want to do this year is get a sponsor. We don't have any sponsors. So this is just us 100% agreeing with Steve from Eagle Gloves.
We're not being paid by anybody.
This is just, wow.
So this is the thing. When I say we're not advocating that, I am 100%. If companies could have great training programs, hand washing programs, and make sure that they were followed, that would be amazing. I would be 100% behind that.
Yes.
Because they're not, gloves can be, are such a false sense of security. I know what happens when people put these gloves on and the false sense of security that they provide. I talked about it during an interview that I did with Food Safety Matters that's going to air sometime in the near future. How many times do you go through a drive-thru and get waited on by somebody that's wearing these gloves and they turn around and go right back to doing what they were doing? And they've handled your money and your, and it's like, well, your cash, they've handed you your food, your credit card, they've touched their face and their, and whatever else they've done with those gloves on. And now they're going back to prep food or whatever they were doing before that. I did an undercover segment for Dr. Oz several years ago. And we were in this facility.
Hold on a second. Talk about what a drop, by the way. You were just like, yeah, we did this. I filmed this segment with Dr. Oz, whatever.
It's part of the story.
<That's what laughs> yes, I know. But who films a segment with Dr. Oz?
So that's what we were doing. And oh my heavens, just first of all, that day was mind blowing just because of the things that we did and nobody questioned us. First of all, that in itself was mind-blowing. Nobody questioned anything that we did. We took temperatures of food, and as a food safety person and a consultant and somebody that talks to people about food security and watching your surroundings and what people are doing when you're in your facilities, and nobody ever questioned anything that we were doing. Now, we bought the food. Everything that we touched, we purchased. It was amazing. Anyway, back to what I was talking about. We're standing in front of the counter waiting to pay for our food. And this kid has single-use gloves on. And he has a mop in his hand. And he's mopping the floor with the single-use gloves on. And he stops mopping the floor, rings up order on the cash register, processes the order with the gloves on, uses the tongs, actually touches some food, and goes back to mopping the floor. And I'm like, it's so wrong.
Yeah. So the guy is touching the mop.
That gross, disgusting mop handle.
Yeah.
Everything else. And then in the process touches all these food contact surfaces. It was just everything he did wrong on so many levels. Just, it was craziness. And we saw so much that day. Now, I was with them that day for 8-9 hours. It was a 5-minute segment, 7 minutes.
Oh,
it was
crazy.
I didn't have time to go to the studio the next day for the follow-up. So I didn't actually go to the studio, but it was crazy.
So of course you're like, yeah, I did this thing with Dr. Oz. I didn't have enough time to actually do the whole thing.
I had a commitment the next day.
Whatever. This is what I said about with you and Jill and Tia when I was like, you over deliver. You're like, well, I already had this commitment. So sorry, Dr. Oz.
Inside Edition called me and I told him no.
That's pretty awesome.
But anyway, so yeah, just the things that you can see if you're aware of your surroundings are just crazy. And again, the false sense of security that they provide, because what happens with the gloves is, and when I was doing a lot of corporate training, one of the questions I would ask is, who are the gloves to protect? And oftentimes, the participants would say, us. No, they're to protect your customers.
Right.
And sometimes they don't really understand that. But what happens is you put these gloves on and you can't feel your hands getting dirty. So that awareness of, oh, I need to go wash my hands goes away. People walk by and mash down the trash with their gloves on or touch things they wouldn't normally touch. And they lose that sense of, my hands are dirty, I need to wash them.
Yeah. And you, when you go to TSA, if you're going through the TSA, which I do frequently, unfortunately, I travel a ton. Those gloves that the TSA are wearing, that's to protect them. That is not to protect you. That is to protect them. But when you're in this article, which we'll post down below, in this article, he talks about 2/3 of, or approximately 200,000 quick serve restaurants use gloves. That is basically ubiquitous. The industry in the quick serve restaurant is using gloves. That is what they're doing.
Absolutely.
And so, which is great for food safety. It is great if one of two things, or if both of these things are happening. One, the gloves don't already have a bunch of chemicals and pathogens on them, right? So you're not washing your hands, pulling out gloves, adding pathogens to your hands or chemicals to your hands while you're putting the gloves on, right? And then touching a bunch of stuff with these nasty gloves. So having the right gloves, number one. And then number two is food with these gloves. And we see it all the time. Yeah.
Regularly.
It's actually worse. It's not good. It's no, it provides no benefit whatsoever once those gloves touch a mop and then go and touch your food. It's actually worse. Because if you're not wearing those gloves and you know that when you do a cleaning task, then you need to go wash your hands. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Think about where that mop handle's been.
And nobody's sanitizing and washing, or I should say, very few people are sanitizing and washing a mop handle.
In a restaurant, I've never seen anybody sanitize. In all the years, I've never seen anybody wash and sanitize a mop handle.
No.
Never. So this is a question that Steve was asked. Who checks gloves on arrival in the United States to ensure they meet these FDA standards? Nobody. Nobody. They're not checked.
FDA isn't even checking food. They're asking to increase their budget to be able to make sure there's no lead in food coming from food from other countries or spices laughing, from other countries.
It's not funny.
You're laughing. Yeah, you're right. You're laughing only to keep from crying.
That's the reality of it. So basically, we're asking countries in Southeast Asia, where a lot of these come from, to work on the honor system.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. Which is
and their honor system is I honor that I will provide very cheap products at a profit. That's their honor system.
So a lot of these are fake and counterfeit because that's limited compliance check. During the height of the pandemic, a recent CNN investigation found tens of millions reused, visibly soiled, many dirty, bloodstained, reached the U.S. with an improved compliance system. This is what I'm talking about, was talking about earlier.
I didn't realize it was that bad. That's disgusting. And are these being used in like hospitals too? Because I know like hospitals are getting very similar gloves. Are they reusing gloves from hospitals?
I mean, how else? It says that we know from independent research that in tests done on 2,800 new and unused gloves from 26 different brands, over 260 different viable pathogens were found. Listeria, E. coli, Salmonella, name it, it was there. In addition, they found human and animal fecal indicators on 69% of the gloves. Basically, 7 of 10 gloves had fecal matter.
7 out of 10 gloves are crap.
So, are there enough microbes on these gloves to cause an outbreak? Good question. Short answer is it's hard to know, and it's hard to trace back to gloves. They're not usually tested as being the source of recall.
Yeah, and I bet they're doing PCR tests. So the protein of the pathogens are there, but the pathogens may not be viable. So basically, what I mean by that is PCR test is not looking for live pathogens. Some PCR tests are looking for live pathogens. Real quick, inexpensive ones are just looking for the protein of that pathogen, the genetics of that pathogen. Well, if that pathogen died, so if E. coli, Salmonella, Listeria had died on these gloves, you could still pick up the protein, the genetics of it, even though it's not live and viable. So it'll be interesting to see, are they sanitizing the gloves? But how the hell did the pathogen end up on them regardless? That's just disgusting. Regardless if it's live or dead, there shouldn't be pathogens on these gloves. Well, I went down a food safety nerd thing. Wow. Okay, well, this is a great setup for next week's discussion with Steve, so you get to meet the glove guy.
Yeah.
As he calls himself. Does he call himself that, or have other people call him that?
I think he's been assigned that name. I don't know. I thought I came up with some pretty good names, actually. I can't remember right now what they were, but I thought some of them were pretty good. I'm not sure how Steve felt about it.
He was like, I go by the most mysterious man on the universe, something like that. Like Austin Powers.
I know.
Okay, so the next thing we want to talk about is tapeworm. We're going to end with tapeworm today.
I don't think it wasn't a tapeworm. It wasn't a tapeworm. It was some kind, was it?
It was
some
yeah, kind it was
of,
tapeworm.
Was it a tapeworm? Some kind of brain amoeba. Was it a tapeworm?
Random amoeba. Yes, it was a tapeworm. Let's see. Let me pull the article back up. Did I get rid of it?
Did I send that through LinkedIn? I think I did. It was on CNN, but I can't remember how I sent it.
It's even in USA Today, so it must be real. A Florida man kept having migraines.
Right.
Doctors then discovered tapeworm eggs in his brain.
Okay. They're tapeworm them. I'm sorry. I was wrong. So, yes, this guy.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Say that again. I missed it. I couldn't hear you.
I said, I am sorry. I was wrong.
Oh, and who was right? Who's right?
Matt was right. I am sorry. I was
I'm
wrong.
Good now. I can end the day.
Are you going to play this for your wife? Is that what's happening here? You're going to play this for Tracy?
That's exactly what I'm going to do. Okay, so this was new to me, and I did not know you can get tapeworm in the brain. Like, I know you could get tapeworm from undercooked pork, which is generally where people get tapeworm from, but I did not realize that tapeworm could actually get into the brain. This was... Oh, so, yeah, so, for those of you who don't know, tapeworm is a parasite that usually grows in your gut. And so you can eat meat, and then the tapeworm... People have actually created tapeworm diets.
Yes,
where they
so disgusting.
Ingest tapeworm on purpose just to have this tapeworm in their gut.
I think you can purchase tapeworms. It's not smart.
No.
This is just not smart. Oh, unless they banned it at this point. At one time, you could buy, like, I think it was a tapeworm capsule or something.
Wow. Okay, well, maybe you can just get tapeworm from your gloves. So, yeah, so this guy had tapeworm eggs in his brain, and he admitted, quote, to having a habit of regularly consuming undercooked bacon. Okay, first off, I love bacon. I could put bacon on just about anything.
Oh my God,
anything.
I love bacon too. listen to us.
Yeah, now I'm like hungry. Okay, but I do not like floppy undercooked bacon. My grandpa-in-law, he used to live with us prior to his passing, and he would just like boil bacon quickly, like a flash boil, and then eat it.
Boil?
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. And it was basically like raw and dangling.
So I don't like crunchy bacon. I do not like crunchy bacon.
Oh, I love crunchy bacon.
I don't like crunchy bacon. I do like it a little floppy. And I also get migraines. So when somebody... My cousin sent this to me, my cousin Jennifer. So when she sent this to me, I'm like, oh, I get migraines. Now, I've gotten migraines since I was a child.
This is a fantastic example of cause and effect versus causation.
Oh my God.
Yes,
floppy bacon.
Somebody did get tapeworm in their brain, which can lead to migraines. But just because you have migraines does not mean you have tapeworm eggs in your brain.
I know that. It was just for a second. It was like, oh my God. Lasted a second. That I know that is not the cause of my migraines. You're the cause of my migraines.
I don't doubt that at all. You're the cause of my migraines.
I want Tracy to hear that too.
Yeah, that's accurate, probably. My mom had migraines, and some of my children have migraines.
Ugh.
My daughters, actually, which is interesting how it follows females.
Yeah.
Again, so cause effect versus causation. Yeah. I don't know.
So how crazy is that? Like, that was the cause. Don't eat raw bacon is the moral of our story. Don't eat raw bacon.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Don't eat raw bacon.
I want to go back. So tapeworm diet works by swallowing a pill that has a tapeworm egg inside. The egg eventually hatches and the tapeworm will grow inside your body and eat whatever you're eating. The idea is that you can eat and still lose weight because the worm is eating extra calories.
Okay. The extraction method of tapeworm, are you like having to roll it up like through your...
So what was the name of that movie? Oh my God, it was a comedy. So they used to, I don't know, starve it out. It comes out orifice. So put it under your chin.
Because it has, there's only one way for it to
get long. They get really long. I mean, you could wake up in the morning and find it on your bed sheet, I guess, beside you if it comes out there.
Like a pet. Oh, look. I burned the new worm from my butthole.
Can you imagine the doctor like pulling that?
Is it out your mouth or is it out your butt?
Oh, wait. I guess come out either end.
Yeah, that's what I think of when I think of tapeworm is like, an alien creature. Well, it is an alien, right? It is an alien in your body. But like all those alien movies where they put insect things in and it crawls up into your brain or whatever. That's what we're talking about right here. Ugh, so gross.
Surgery? Oh,
gosh. We talk about a lot of gross things. I don't understand why tapeworm grosses me out so much. Oh, yeah.
This says, healthcare providers usually recommend, I guess it's a pill because it paralyzes the worm, forcing it to dislodge from your intestinal wall. Dislodge the neck of the tapeworm and it passes from your body. Because the tapeworm can regenerate. Yeah, if you don't get the whole thing out, it'll regenerate. I knew that.
Wow. So you have to get the whole thing out or else pieces of it will regrow?
It'll regenerate. Man pulls 5.5-foot tapeworm out of his body.
5.5 foot? 5.5 feet. Wow. For those of you who are outside of the country of the United States that deal with everything other than feet, that's like almost 2 meters of a tapeworm.
This is affecting you way more than
it's me. It's not fun at all.
I think it's thoroughly disgusting, but... So yeah, so much for talk about a little bit of everything here.
That's crazy. Okay, well, I think we should probably end it on that. So don't eat poop.
Thank you.